Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
I think, Bonnie, I don't know if you have this story, but New Hampshire, the governor of New Hampshire is saying that...
We're in an emergency situation with hospital capacity, but he's not declaring an emergency order yet.
Yeah, it's interesting. He's holding off on any kind of state of emergency order, even though New Hampshire hospitals are apparently at a peak of coronavirus cases. So it's like, I'm not advocating for a state of emergency here. Like, I'm glad he's not doing it. But if... like having the maximum number of cases isn't a state of emergency. Why was there a state of emergency last year?
Like, yeah, that's a great question.
Yeah, they had a state of emergency for months and months and months. It went for more than a year, I think. I think it ended in what, like June of this year and started in like March of last year. So it went for something like 15 months straight. And now there's more people in the hospital than the last basically 2 years.
I think it's because the people that are in the hospital right now don't have COVID.
No, they're saying it's hospitalized COVID.
Oh, they're saying it's because of COVID?
Right now in New Hampshire, there are more cases hospitalized for COVID than there have been at any point during the so-called pandemic. But
wow.
Sununu is saying, oh no, it's not a state of emergency. So why was it a state of emergency when there were fewer?
In the places where people are highly vaccinated, the places with the highest percentages of people being vaccinated are the places that have COVID running rampant, allegedly. But then you look at Africa, which has a 6% vaccination rate.
Really?
And COVID doesn't even exist there. People don't wear masks. They're not social distancing.
No.
They're just doing their regular community stuff. And nobody has COVID there.
Now, is that actually true? I don't think that could be true across the board, because we had a guy call in from Uganda last year, and he said that it is a police state there, that they have used this as an excuse to crack down, just like every government all around the world, and that they are restricting food and they're restricting access to various different things. It's been a while since we took the call. But he didn't make it sound like it was any different there.
Well, we watched that video the other day of the people grocery shopping in Nigeria, but I can't remember because it's like not natural to think about it. Do you remember if they were wearing masks? Yeah, I feel like it
was a mix.
Yeah,
I think some were and some weren't. So I don't know. I'd be interested to hear more of like a country by, because Africa's a big continent.
Yeah, of course.
I'd be interested in hearing more of like a country by country comparison, because this has been the excuse for government goons to take hold of people's freedoms. And the African government goons are just as likely to utilize those excuses as anyone else.
Yeah, the research I was doing was like taking a broad look at Africa, and it was saying that 6% of them are vaccinated. Mm-hmm. Everybody else is unvaccinated.
Why can't the hospitals construct their own facilities? They have plenty of money. They can hire a contractor.
And they get money from the government.
Right. Well, they also just get money from, you know, the insurance companies and their patients. So, like, if they need a new wing built or they need some sort of facility added inside an existing wing, why can't they just hire somebody?
It seems like they're kind of trying to normalize the militarization of like healthcare facilities and things like that. Because I remember when I was working in a nursing home, like right in the beginning of COVID, like March, April, they had the National Guard come in to administer the COVID tests to all the residents.
Really?
Which is interesting because we're nurses.
You could
and
do it.
Yeah, we're probably better at doing that than the National Guard because we do that regularly.
Yeah, I would feel better in the hands of a nurse than some soldier.
Right. So, and they weren't even like, they didn't seem to be medical people. They were like in full uniform and they were freaking the patients out because they're already scared because of COVID. And now they have like all these military guys in there. It was just, it was very strange.
Why bring more people in during a supposed outbreak?
That's another good point.
Yeah.
The whole thing that already worked there.
Yeah. The whole thing didn't make sense.
No, it doesn't make sense. And it also, of course, in New York, you know, that they were talking about getting rid of all the unvaccinated healthcare workers there. And I believe that deadline actually just passed.
This is from MWR9. New executive order aims to help New Hampshire hospitals build capacity, Sununu says. Hospitals will be able to create temporary acute care centers within own facilities.
They couldn't do that before? Why does a hospital
Yeah, why can't they have like a portable?
Wait a minute. acute care facilities, don't they already have these things, Nikki?
Most hospitals do.
What is an acute care facility?
Well, acute care would be, so like there's like chronic illnesses and then there's acute illnesses. Mm-hmm. So acute care would be something like a med-surg unit or like a cardiac unit, like someone who's just coming in for like a surgery or like if they had a heart attack or something, or if they got COVID and, you know, they're just coming in for like a short-term stay. So I would assume that that's pretty much what like the entire hospital is. Because like long term would be like a nursing home or a rehab, or, you know, they also have what do they call it? An ambulatory, which is like one day in, you know, you don't actually get admitted. Mm-hmm. It's just like an in and out kind of thing for certain procedures and checkups. But
so what is he talking about then?
I have no clue.
Says Governor Sununu has issued a new executive order. Oh, I read that. Sorry. Sununu said he is not declaring a new state of emergency, but as COVID-19 hospitalizations continued to reach new highs in the state, he said New Hampshire is definitely in an emergency situation when it comes to hospital capacity. Well, Sununu said it's essentially the same model he and his public health team learned about when they traveled to Kentucky at the end of August. New Hampshire Hospital Association President Steve Onan said the assistance is welcome and needed. Quote, if we can find opportunities to bring in additional people to care for patients, to support... Wait, maybe they could have just not fired everyone, but...
That would have helped.
To support our hospitals in doing what we certainly support those efforts. Onan said, the National Guard could be a key component of that. State health officials are also coordinating with hospitals to determine what sort of support service roles might be filled by the National Guard.
Now, I'm sorry to interrupt you here. Now, Nikki, you worked at a hospital that was in Massachusetts.
Yes.
So, and I know you went to one or two different protests here in New Hampshire. Do you recall or do you know when whatever deadline there might have been? Now, I know in New Hampshire it wasn't a government-imposed one. Like they did in Maine, where the Maine governor said you have to have a vaccination if you're in any health care.
Yeah, or else whatsoever. You get your license taken away. Not even you get fired. They were taking away people's licenses to practice.
This guy, he is Stephen Onan. Quote, we could do it right now and at some point... Oh, no, sorry. This is Sununu talking now. We could do it right now, and at some point, I think that need will likely be there, Sununu said. When I call up the National Guard, it could potentially be for weeks or even months. Last time I had the National Guard called up for effectively a year, and that puts a lot of pressure on their system. Ew, I don't like the way he talks. It's like, I don't know. He just is really into like getting to be able to be the one that calls up the National Guard.
He's a sleazeball.
He's all about power. I mean, that's why he's in the position he's in. That's why he's talking about running for the presidency.
But I guess he's trying to say he doesn't want to have them called up if he doesn't have to, because it puts a lot of pressure on the National Guard system.
I didn't know that he'd even called them up for a year, as he was saying. I had not heard anything about that in the last year. I certainly didn't see them on the streets or anything like that. I know that when Matt and I went to Vermont, they had some handing out food at a distribution thing in Vermont one day, but that's not the New Hampshire Guard. So I certainly never saw them. Maybe they were at the whatever New Hampshire food distributions there might have been or something like that. But they weren't in any sort of like public capacity as I was driving around Keene last year. I never saw them.
Citizen soldiers could end up at hospitals, rehabilitation centers, or nursing homes to help ease the capacity crunch.
I also want to point out that the PCR tests can't identify between the flu and COVID. So do we even know that these people have COVID?
No,
you know,
I guess we don't.
There's no way to know. And as far as I knew, they were going to be suspended at the end of the year. So we're still using the faulty tests.
Yep.
So
what happens at the end of the year?
Who knows? They don't even have any tests to replace them. Just nothing that's going on makes sense here. And it seems like they're just kind of like making up stuff as they go. Just whatever fits their narrative at the time and just doing whatever they feel like. Like, nothing is based in science.
Yeah, that was my thought about Sununu holding off on the emergency order. It's like he's just making it up as he goes because in the future it might be something he wants to do.
Well, plus he is going to run for re-election next year. And so remember, here in New Hampshire, the entire state government apparatus, as far as elected officials, gets done every 2 years. There are no 4-year terms in the state governments here. So Sununu... he's ready to run again, and he was going to run for U.S. Senate. He was talking about Senate, and the numbers on his approval ratings were going down, presumably because some people are upset with him over how he's handled the COVID situation, meaning too heavy-handed.
And also the fact that he forced, a vote basically to get it in his favor so that way we take 29 million or trillion from the or wait million
million Billion? Yeah, not trillion, but yeah, oh. Million.
There's no informed consent going on here. Like, these people that are getting these vaccines, they're not being the people distributing the vaccines aren't being really truthful about what's really going on here. Like, a lot of teenagers probably don't know that this is an experimental vaccination. You know, they don't know the details behind it, and they don't know the possible risks and side effects.
It's really more something that the government's doing that I think shouldn't be allowed to be going on. Like, if this was just free market and a drug came out, maybe I would be like, oh yeah, teenagers should be allowed to decide if they get it or not. But this is obviously a different situation. There's a coercive, you know, violent gang telling them you don't get to do this and this and this unless you come get it. Don't tell your parents. That's a lot different, I think.
Yeah, it's definitely disturbing what they're doing, but none of them have gone as far as Austria to actually mandate these things. And so when I saw the news that Austria was doing this, my first thought was, okay, well, what's the punishment if I don't get it? Are they going to put me in a prison cell? Are they going to hold me down and force vaccinate me against my will? What's it going to be? And I couldn't find that. I looked for a bit, you know, I didn't spend a whole bunch of time looking for it, but I couldn't find any kind of like explanation of, okay, what is the actual consequence for this supposed mandatory vaccination? I mean, presumably it's one and or the other or both.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy. So I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
And as you pointed out, Nikki, the tests that people have been using for the last roughly two years at this point can't even discern between COVID-19 and the flu, which may explain why the numbers for the flu basically disappeared in 2020.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Almost completely gone, right?
And it was like, oh, the big mystery has been solved. Like, in healthcare, at least, we were like, oh, that's what it is. Like, they were just testing as COVID instead of the flu. Like, it all makes sense now. Like, that's why we didn't have any flu patients. And that's why some of the COVID patients were producing flu-like symptoms. And so, like, we were seeing this, like, wide range of, like, different COVID symptoms. And we're like, this doesn't make any sense. So it kind of, like, answered all of our questions. But then for some reason, it felt like everybody forgot about that. And then it was just
keep on using the same test, which now they can't start. Or they can't use after the end of the year based on, was that the FDA that made that decision?
Yes, I believe so, but yeah. I don't know. I heard about that a few months ago.
That was back in the summertime when I heard
about that. Yeah, I'm not sure if they're still. I mean, it was weird because it didn't make sense to me because I'm thinking, okay, if we've just established that the tests don't work, then why are we still using them, especially for this long? I mean, they were going to use them for like another like 4 to 6 months. So it doesn't make any sense.
A professor of the London School of Economics, Professor Paul de Grau, said, "No single individual freedom is absolute. The freedom not to be vaccinated needs to be limited to guarantee the freedom of others to enjoy good health."
You can't guarantee that. That's impossible. It's impossible to guarantee free health or good health to anyone.
That's a great point, yeah. I mean, as we've said here, that there's even been mainstream stories that have admitted that people with the vaccine still get COVID. They still transmit COVID. So you're right, Bonnie. This is all just a smokescreen.
I mean, you can live a very healthy life and do everything right and just end up with something that comes on in when you're older because of genetics. You just aren't guaranteed good health.
You never know. And you certainly being obedient to the government is not going to guarantee you any better health.
Like, especially when we've said, they're not actually doing things that help people be healthy.
Sure. I mean, how many people have we seen smoking a cigarette with a mask hanging below their chin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many?
Exactly.
extremely obese Americans are walking around wearing masks and feeling, you know, morally superior to people without masks on. That principle is now turning friends away from each other and splitting families across European nations. Brigitte Schoenmakers, a general practitioner at Leuven University, sees it on almost a daily basis. She says it's turned into a battle between people.
So this article is actually from the New York Post. Violent protests have broken out against COVID-19 vaccine mandates and lockdowns across Europe amid tough new rules to curb winter waves of the virus. Demonstrators
which didn't work last time they tried to curb the virus, but exactly. Let's get tougher and see if that makes a difference.
Demonstrators are angry about the new measures gathered in Austria, Croatia, Italy, Northern Ireland, and the French territory of Guadeloupe and the Netherlands to protest the moves. In the Netherlands, a second night of riots broke out Saturday over a partial lockdown one day after police opened fire on people protesting the new rules in Rotterdam. Hmm. Protesters hurried fireworks at the police and set fire to bicycles in The Hague as cops used horses, dogs, and batons to chase crowds away.
Wow, oh, I saw a video of the cops with the dogs, and they were trying to get a dog to, like, bite or do something to a dude that was on the pavement and being wrestled by the police. The police clearly had this guy, I shouldn't say wrestled, being held down by the police, and it was like, they had control of this man on the pavement. And they wanted to sick the dog on him, but the dog wouldn't do it.
I got in a fight with my mom during 2020 because she reposted this thing on Facebook that was like, black man in BLM riot breaks into a dog shop and kills puppies. And I was like, you don't even wonder like if maybe that's, you know, an agent provocateur at all. You just repost that like, see, this is what these black people are doing. She didn't say that. I'm just saying, not that my mom is like a racist, it's just that she was obviously being, you know, part of this. She was like a pawn in this situation. I was like, why would you just repost something like that? You don't know any of the situations. And she was just like, Bonnie, I'm not racist. I just don't like that people are going around making riots. So I was like, well, I don't know. You're obviously being used. And she's like, she deleted me off Facebook so we wouldn't fight. Well, it was so we wouldn't fight, she said.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that wasn't black people that did that. That was a man who did that. Right? Just one guy.
Yeah, possibly. Exactly. I mean, that's what the government said. I mean, not the government. That's what the media said happened. Yeah. Who knows?
One psychopath.
So the article continues. In Italy, 3,000 protesters showed up to Circus Maximus, an ancient chariot racing ground in Rome, to protest against green pass certificates. It's a vaccine certificate required at local workplaces, restaurants, cinemas, theaters, sports venues, and gym. People like us never give up.
Bonnie, I was going to say to you, you should talk to your mom about the idea that debating isn't necessarily fighting.
That's exactly.
Debating can be a good thing.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. That's exactly what I was saying to her whenever this whole thing happened. She was like, Bonnie, I don't want to make you mad. I was like, I'm not mad. Like, I'm seriously not mad. I'm trying to explain this to you. Like, she's always acting like she knows that the government's bad. The government's bad. The big corporations are bad and big media is bad. But if something comes around that kind of seems to, like, tug on her heartstrings the wrong way or whatever, she can so easily be influenced. I wasn't mad at her. I wasn't calling her racist. She didn't literally say black people are like this or anything like that. She just shared a thing and said, this is so, so sad. And I was explaining to her how she was being used and she just completely shut me out. You know, like, she didn't want to talk about it. She thought I was calling her racist, but she forgave me and she wanted to delete me off Facebook so we wouldn't fight. And I'm sorry, I'm just annoyed about it because it's just so silly.
Well, it's easy to, like, take stuff like that personal for some people. Like, some people just they feel like you're personally attacking them just because you have a difference in opinion. And it's like, no, I'm just trying to have a conversation with you.
Even at this Thanksgiving, I'm probably mostly just going to lay back and kind of chill. I might try to drop like one bomb in there, but or like a couple truth bombs in there. But yeah, it seems like some people aren't able to understand that. Like, even if they disagree with me, I almost would like them to have like more thoughts and more more perspectives that they want to share.
Of course,
it seems like some people are just at like they have a lack of them.
No, they don't have them. They just regurgitate what they heard from somewhere else.
They don't really have the arguments. And I think I've been at fault at sometimes in the past for judging them on that and getting kind of like offended myself with it. It's like, come on, I'm giving you so much here, like, I'm being nice enough to not need you to totally agree with me. I want you to understand, but it's they have a problem with even generating the ideation.
Yeah, I think you would describe that person as an NPC, basically a non-player character. I believe is what that stands for.
I was like an hour away from Keene, and I had no clue that this was going on up here. I had no clue about the Free State Project.
Right.
I kind of felt like I was alone in the world in Massachusetts, like the only one that had these beliefs of freedom. And then somehow I came up here one day and I was like, whoa, wait, this is all happening like an hour away from my house. And I had no clue about it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's important to get the message out there and on as many platforms as possible so people can learn and know that they're not alone.
You know, Jeremy Kaufman, who's one of the board of directors over at the Free State Project, made a really interesting point recently, and that is that if we can just encourage like a good chunk of the liberty people in the surrounding states to move to New Hampshire, that alone would be enough to really push the movement over the edge. Like, it's great to have people coming from California and from, you know, Florida or wherever else they come from. But I mean, there's plenty of freedom lovers in New York and Massachusetts. And, you know, these people feel stuck and they feel like they're in a terrible place. And they are. And all they have to do is move like an hour or two.
And the biggest complaint about the Free State Project is always, oh, well, I can't just uproot my life. But you can uproot living in Massachusetts to living in New Hampshire.
Yeah, it's not like, as far.
Yeah, sure. I got to tell you, the move was not very hard. And that's why I kind of feel like whenever I'm telling people to move to New Hampshire, like they want to, but they're like, oh, my family, this, that, and the other thing. I'm like, well, I did it. I got my family to move.
And you mentioned that one of the groups of protesters were government agents that were going out.
Yep.
You know, they don't want to be mandated either. And related, just quick headline, there's no need to really get into the details on it, but TSA screeners, they've got their own vaccine deadline. And according to staradvertiser.com, as many as 40% of the TSA have not yet been vaccinated for COVID-19 as their deadline approached. I guess it actually just crossed on Monday.
I mean, I hate to say it, I want them to get fired, but not because of a vaccine mandate, just because their job is pointless.
Yeah, it does make
but
yeah,
I'm sure they could do something more useful, and you know,
yeah, that's like a lot of, you know, training that they get, right, to do nothing.
Well, they do say their TSA stands for thousands standing around.
Yeah.
But this would be interesting if this were a way that TSA is to get whittled down in size, is they just have to fire everybody or at least 40% of the staff. Now, interesting that their deadline is actually November 22nd, so 2 days ago, and Thanksgiving is expected to be like they're talking about the ticket sales and such.
Yeah.
They're basically back to where they were pre-2020 levels. So people are going to be traveling a lot come this you know, tomorrow. I'm sure a lot of them are in the airports today. So did they send 40% of the staff home on Monday? In which case, does that mean people are going through the TSA checkpoints, you know, 40% slower?
So this from ABC happened the same day, I'm pretty sure, as Kyle Rittenhouse's verdict.
But got almost no coverage by comparison.
Yeah, got way less coverage. Andrew Coffey, the fourth, found not guilty on all counts of murder, attempted first-degree murder.
For shooting at cops.
Well,
who
there's
were raiding
more,
his house, right?
There's more to it than that, which I just kind of grazed through this, or, you know,
and,
searched
I mean,
through this.
Not that it matters, but isn't he a black man?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Andrew Coffey was found not guilty on all counts of murder and attempted first-degree murder Friday. Coffey is accused of firing at Indian River County Sheriff's deputies, which I Googled, and it's Florida, during an early morning drug raid at his home back in 2017. Mm. His girlfriend, Alteria Woods, was caught in the crossfire, shot 10 times, and later died.
Oh my gosh.
So sad.
Coffey was charged with the murder of Woods, even though
his own girlfriend.
Yes. It's not clear who shot her, but I mean, did he shoot her 10 times while shooting at the cops?
Seems
I feel
unlikely.
Like that's unlikely. So he was charged. No cops were charged.
Right.
Coffey was charged with the murder of Woods after a grand jury exonerated two law enforcement officers for her death. Wow.
Of course.
The county sheriff says, "Our hearts go out to the Woods family as they still suffer from a loss of their daughter, but we stand by a statement that she would still be here had Coffey simply complied with law enforcement."
Well, I mean, that's probably true, right? I mean, it's probably true that if they had just allowed the home invaders to come in and do whatever, but he didn't know that they were actual cops. And it's, again, it could have been another group of home invaders that were actually planning to murder him and rape his girlfriend.
Yeah.
And if it was cops, you still have a right to defend yourself against.
And that's what the jury found out, which is what is shocking about this case, that a jury actually ruled in the favor of the defendant in that case. And it's a damn shame that that jury didn't also just go ahead and kick out the other charge, just, you know, just to have a clean sweep, because
it's because they can't, they don't understand jury nullification. They're like,
no,
oh, well, he did have a gun and he was a felon. You yeah. have the right as a jury member to just say, yeah, but who cares?
Yeah,
that's
right.
A dumb
Absolutely.
Law.
Right.
They not would, guilty.
They wouldn't have found that he had the gun if they had not come in, raided his house, come in, you know, with a flashbang, created a violent situation. They never would have necessarily found that because that wasn't what the warrant was for.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more. All for free at freetalklive.com.